Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts in our 17 showrooms nationwide. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So listen to this. I've crunched the numbers and financially, you'd be better off leaving your rental property vacant for the next 2 years and then putting a tenant into it. This is the advice that I had to give a handful of clients since the start of the year. They're the words of financial planner Owen McGee in a video posted on social media yesterday, and his comments have gone down very badly in some quarters with a huge reaction online. And Owen is here with me in the studio. So Owen, I quoted those lines from your video that you posted yesterday. Will you explain yourself to all of the people who've taken issue with those comments?
Yeah, they've gone down very badly with some people, gone down very well with other people. And in fact, what the purpose of the video was to highlight the fact that the rent pressure zone legislation is flawed in certain circumstances. And the circumstances are, in the middle of a housing crisis, certain people are better off financially to leave the thing empty for 2 years.
Why?
Because then they can bring it back up to market rent. What people don't really realise, and what I see, and granted, it's anecdotal, I'm talking about my clients who might have a few properties. I'm not a big fan of property, by the way, as an investment, for reasons like this. But what people don't really realise is that oftentimes landlords will leave people in a property. They're a good tenant. I don't really want to mess with the rent. They leave them in there long term. Because 85% of our rentals are owned by accidental landlords. They have one or two properties. And they'll leave them there long term and they won't put up the rent and they won't try and gouge people like people suggest they will because they're good tenants. Then you introduce a thing like rent pressure zones and they go, well, I'm going to have to increase it by 4% a year because if I don't, I'm going to get caught out on the other end when this tenant decides to leave. And what we end up in a position with is, let's just crunch the numbers. Local rent is €2,500 a month and you've had a tenant in there for 10 years and they're only paying you €1,200 a month. And you then have to, if the only way you're getting the rent up to the market rent in that circumstance, one of the circumstances, is to leave it vacant for 2 years and then you're allowed to peg it back to market rent.
But
again,
if you're making enough at your €1,200 or €1,500 a month, why do you need to do that?
And Claire, that's exactly what people are doing. They're leaving it because they're making enough and they're happy with the tenant. And that's what a lot of people do. But when the tenant then comes to them and says, I'm leaving, and they're saying, OK, I'm going, I'm out of here. And you're now looking at the next tenant and you're going, well, my prices have gone up and my mortgage has gone up and I should be able to go back up to market rent. They can't. They're stuck because they've been looking after the existing tenant the whole way along. And let me be really clear. This is people have come to me. Clients have come to me and said, this is the circumstance. I didn't go out there and look through our book of clients and say, oh, let's identify all the people who should leave their property vacant. And what we have, and you had a long discussion on the show yesterday about the housing crisis. This is a supply issue. The only way the housing crisis is getting fixed is increase in supply.
But there are those who find it morally repugnant in a housing crisis where we have 4,000 children homelessness, that someone who'd come along and say, do you know what, you might be better off leaving that property empty for 2 years in order to get more money.
Okay, but I'm a financial planner and my job as a professional is to tell people what they need to know to make the decision that's right for them. Mm-hmm. And it's no different than, I suppose, this is the legislation, these are the rules, I'm working within the rules and I'm saying this is the right thing for you to do financially. Now, I'm going to be honest, of the handful of clients who have done it, a lot of them will say, no, you know what, the rent is fine, it covers the mortgage, I'm going to leave it as it is, I'm happy with that. Or without the rent, I can't afford the mortgage for 2 years. And some people just feel, you know what, we're in the middle of a housing crisis, okay, I'm not going to do this.
Well, I have Michelle Murphy on the line now, who is Research and Policy Analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Michelle, you've heard Owen's comments there, you've watched the video. We've lost Michelle. Okay, we're just getting Michelle back up on the line. So what have you been saying to people who have said to you, this is a dreadful thing to say in the midst of a housing crisis? I mean, you must understand how people feel really offended by this.
Yeah, sorry, I totally get it. But blaming me for this is a bit like blaming your dentist because your child has to get their tooth taken out. Like, this is the system that we're in. And I think the system is flawed. And I think rent pressure zones and the legislation that's there has had a problem with supply, has damaged supply, because why would you become a landlord now with a rent pressure zone?
Okay, but the other thing it has done, and I was reading this morning in the ESRI report on this, it has moderated rents in Dublin. I mean, they're flying up where we don't have rent pressure zones. That's where the suggestion came from yesterday, that perhaps this legislation should be extended around the country.
Yeah, but look at some of the big, what we often describe as the big vulture funds. They come in with brand new properties and they create the market rent, which are significantly higher. So the new supply of property, the rent prices are significantly higher than they are with the stuff that's been in the existing stock. And it's less attractive for existing landlords to stay in the property market. And we can see that supply is disappearing.
All right, Michelle is back with us. Michelle Murphy from Social Justice Ireland. What do you make of this, Michelle?
Well, look, I think it's a real indictment of government housing policy that Anna Zone rightly points out, he's a financial planner. He's giving advice to people. But if you consider, we're in a housing crisis, 4,000 children homeless, right? If you look over a 9-year period, we've had 26,000 children in this country go through homelessness. That's only a December count. And we get to the point where our housing legislation will allow people, potentially, not everybody, as Owen points out, but some people who have an asset, to leave it sit there for 2 years so they can make a greater profit in 2 years' time. I mean, housing policy should be designed to give homes to people, somewhere safe and secure for you to live. It shouldn't be designed to provide assets for people in order for them to generate a profit. And if you look, since 2012, wages have increased by 27%, rents have increased by 90%. So, private rental properties are becoming hugely expensive. And there's an impact then on renters, because obviously renters are paying a far greater portion of their income on rent. And once you take renting costs into account, over 40% of them are living in poverty. That is the reality. And the fact that we have a system, and rent pressure zones, they were designed to deal with a problem at the time, a problem of rising costs and the problem of the rising cost of living. Obviously, there seems to be issues or loopholes there, but we need to increase supply. And we certainly shouldn't be, you know, having a discussion based on addressing loopholes or based on keeping rents high. We need to be looking at cost rental. We need to be looking at why are market rents so high in the first place? Because they're not linked to the what the property is. Is it big, small, old, new, what the BER
is?
It's not linked to income.
You're not saying that the rent pressure zone legislation is so flawed that we shouldn't have it. Because if it wasn't there, we would have tenants in the property. Let's use the example that Owen brought up. The rent is €1,200 a month. The landlord can look around and go, actually, the neighbours are charging €2,500 a month, and that's what I can do. You can imagine being a tenant in that type of situation.
Oh, absolutely. And I suppose the challenge the government has is that this year the rent pressure zone legislation is ending in 2024, and they have to decide, as you pointed out, whether do they increase the rent pressure zones, as in where they are around the country, because they have had an impact in Dublin, and then you look at elsewhere where they're not and rents are increasing substantially, or do they amend it, or what is it that they do? But we need to look beyond rent pressure zones as well. We need to look at how we actually increase supply for people.
Well, government would say that they're doing that. But what do you think of the prospect of people getting advice from advisors like Owen to leave your property empty for 2 years to get around the rent pressure zone, and them taking that advice?
Well, I think it's a pretty damning indictment,
of the advice
system.
Or of the legislation?
No, well, I mean, it's a pretty damning indictment of the advice, but I mean, if that's what the numbers say, but I really find it, you know, how in the midst of 4,000 children, more than 4,000 children last month, and you're telling someone, in order for you to make a greater profit, that's the point. Yeah. It's about profit. In order for you to make a greater profit here, you should leave it empty so you can get more money in 2 years. What does that say to
Michelle,
all the people today, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, who are going queuing, trying to rent a house, who are facing eviction? I mean, it just beggars belief that this is the point we're in. And at
the same time,
we're going to have landlords looking for more tax.
Okay, Michelle, just let Owen back in. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Michelle, can I ask you, what advice do you think I should give my clients as a professional when I crunch the numbers?
I said earlier you're a financial planner, so you have to give the advice that the numbers tell you to do. But what I'm saying is, how are we in such a situation that you are giving advice to people that in order for them to increase their profit, we shouldn't be in this type of situation.
I totally
completely agree with you that we need to increase supply.
Michelle, I think that's the really important point. We both agree that supply is the issue here. And with government interfering with rent pressure zones and interfering with what money can be made as an investment property for a client, right? with government interfering with that, it makes it less attractive for that part of the supply part of housing to be implemented. People are just less attracted to housing as a result of it. And we either make a choice that we want all big corporates. And if you think about this, I'm talking to individual clients who have morals and ethics and are deciding, you know what, we're in the middle of a housing crisis. I'm not going to do that, even though it makes financial sense.
Have you had people who have done it?
Well, you see, the problem with it is actually the handful of clients that I've had, the ones have either decided, I'm going to leave it as it is, I'm not doing it, or they've decided to sell up.
Okay.
And that's what's happened.
But have you had anybody who's taken that advice and left it empty?
No. Mm-hmm. No. And that's honestly, no, I have not.
But you have told them that if you want to increase the yield from this, that's what you should do.
Yes, because that's the number. Because they've come to me and says, my tenant is moving out. What are my options? Will I sell it? Will I keep it? What should I do? And when we crunch the numbers, you say, well, if you're going to keep it, what you need to do is, not what you need to do, one of the best financial things to do would be to leave it empty for 2 years. Or you rent it out again and you go again at the current rent that you're at, or you sell it.
But they've taken the moral decision leave it empty for 2 years.
And I'm not saying I'm discouraging that. I'm just giving them the facts that they need to do. I'm saying, you know what, morally, if you're okay with it and you can afford to do it, I'm not saying I'm not discouraging them from doing that. I'm just giving them the facts. In the same way your doctor, your GP will tell you, this is the symptom and this is the cause and this is the solution. And then you can go off yourself and walk out of the GP surgery and decide what you're going to do.
And you accept, Michelle, do you, that Owen's job is to maximise the investment and the yield from that investment for the client?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not the Owen's job is to give financial advice as a financial planner. It's not his job to set housing legislation. But I think what he has exposed is governments, and it's not just this government. I mean, we've had a decade of crisis, but the over-reliance on the private sector to provide supply, and some of that supply is then provided as an investment or an asset. The state needs to increase its own supply of homes and housing. And, you know, Owen mentioned that he was dealing with individual clients, and we have seen an increase in recent years of the more institutional landlords. So people have more than 100 tenancies. And what we've actually seen is kind of a change in terms of, quite a concerning change in terms of what they say that they are offering, or the impact of these institutional landlords, what the effect that these institutional landlords have had in terms of the meaning, what a home actually means in terms of the rental market. Because what they see that they're offering tenants, and this is from some recent research, is not a property, but it's a proposition. So they're marketing a location and environmental context. It's not just an individual property.
And that's the point.
And the challenge, sorry, Ona, and the challenge is unless the state increases supply of social housing and cost rental housing, you will get yourself into a situation where, as Owen said, the big institutional investors will probably be happy to leave a property sitting for 2 years.
Well, that's
years
what you said in your video.
That's exactly what I said. That was exactly what I was going back in with there, Michelle. You're dead right. I'm sitting in front of a client who is looking at Ireland and they're going, this is our country, this is where we grew up, we want to do the right thing, and they're making a decision based on morals and ethics. Big corporations just make decisions based on maths, and maths are black and white. And in this case, the maths are black and white for certain individuals that this is just leaving it empty is the right thing to do. Financially, it's the right thing to do. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. I'm saying financially, it's the right thing to do. Big corporates don't care about that. They are just going to look at it and say, yeah, leave it vacant, or do enough renovations to it to make it to be able to get around the rent pressure zones and increase it that way if we have to.
Michelle, I have a listener here who says that we're missing the key point that when this system was introduced, the RPZ system, landlords who were charging well below market rents were not allowed any catch-up. And that's what we're seeing outside of the Greater Dublin area and outside of the other urban areas where the RPZ is in place. There's catch-up happening.
Yes, and actually that was referenced by, I think, Dara O'Brien, the minister, earlier this year. But look, they were put in place for a reason. Government designed the RPZs for a particular reason. But I think if we're talking about like catch-up and getting caught out by rent increases, then we're having the wrong conversation, because Dara O'Brien has 1 year left to deliver on his own government's commitment to securing housing for all and good livelihoods from our land. I mean, that is not happening. They're not meeting their targets. The minister is again talking about, oh, we're going to have to introduce more tax breaks in the budgets for landlords. Tax breaks aren't going to deliver any more supply. The challenge is, and what they're not doing, and we've had a new Taoiseach who stood up in the Dáil in his first speech, he talked about increasing supply. We need to see some real indication on how they're going to increase supply, an actual commitment to build social housing, an actual commitment to cost rental. And when you do those things, you're going to bring down the rent on the private market. Right. And we won't be relying on things like rent pressure zones to deal with what's a fundamentally dysfunctional housing
system. I agree with you, Michelle. We shouldn't be relying on rent pressure zones. Paul Krugman, economist, Nobel Prize winning economist, the IMF. There's so many people out there who have looked at these across the world and said they do not work.
All right, we're going to leave it there. We have had so many text messages on this and we'll bring a flavour of those to you throughout the programme. But for now, Owen McGee and Michelle Murphy, thank you very much.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.